Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
They're going for it on fourth and goal, and the pass will be intercepted in the end zone. Jason Verrett was able to pick it off and go right to the screen to celebrate.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, and let's say welcome to Jason Verrett. We go inside the 49ers locker room this time each and every week, and today we get to say hello to their cornerback, who is really one of the best stories in all of football. We love a story of coming back from an injury, all those painful solitary hours of rehab are finally paying off for Mr. Jason Verrett, who is brought to us by Harris Ranch Beef, legendary quality, available at your local Raley's and Nob Hill Foods, or shop online at shop.harrisranchbeef.com, and by MB Jesse Painting, your local Bay Area painting contractor for commercial and residential properties. Visit mbjesse.com today. Jason Verrett, thank you so much for joining us. Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto, and Matt Kolsky with you this afternoon. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, boss. I appreciate y'all having me.
No, we're let me tell you, we appreciate having you, and I think the 49ers certainly appreciate you on this team right now, because you have, to our naked eye, returned to the form that was the promise that got you drafted so high all those years ago by San Diego. Are you feeling as good as you're looking to us?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's been a tough journey, but, you know, credit to the 49ers organization helping me get back to that form where I once was. So I'm definitely happy to be out there making plays. And, yeah, the body is definitely feeling A1.
And it's nice of you to say, you know, thanks to my team for getting me back, but rehab is a lonely isolation that players go through, and it seemed like you were on your way to coming back, and then you would have a setback that would just set you off for, you know, still just whatever catch-up you were doing, you would fall behind again. How did you manage your level of frustration throughout your entire rehab, which I know lasted for several years?
Right. No, it was tough. Definitely was tough. You know, dark moments for me. You know, just dealing with those setbacks and kind of being in a place of mind where you kind of get nervous as you go out to train and go out to do anything differently, just because you just never know if something else can put you in another setback. But, you know, I just fought hard, you know, tried to focus much as possible in the moment, staying in the moment, not trying to look too far in the future. And just once I started to feel that my body was shifting into where I wanted to be, man, I just went in head first, tunnel vision, man, and was just grinding hard to get back to where I am now.
How many times during your attempted comebacks were you sure that everything was back to normal? And what was the time up until the present time that that you had that epiphany and said, I'm back?
Ah, that's tough, just because, you know, in 2016, dealing with the ACL, and, you know, that was a tough recovery process for me, just because it was months where I wasn't feeling good. But I just tried to trust the protocol and trust the timing of the recovery process, and then having a setback with that knee and then somewhat feeling better and trying to get over that hump, and then, boom, the Achilles happened. So it was tough, you know, it was tough to try to see exactly how my body was going to try to shape and form from all of those setbacks that I had. But I definitely say this past off season and this past season with being on IR kind of just allowed my body to really just rest and then focus on getting stronger. So going into 2020 offseason, man, I just felt the best that I felt in a long time. And I grinded my ass off and did everything that I had to do to get where I am now. So it's definitely been a long journey, but, you know, the marathon continues.
So you're playing great right now. We can all see it. Your best year maybe was your second year. It's a Pro Bowl season in San Diego. Do you feel like you're basically 100% back to that guy who was a Pro Bowl corner? Because that's kind of how it looks to us.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think as the weeks go on, you know, I think my game will elevate. You know, this is a tough league and being out a while. But, you know, every week I just look to try to take my game to another level and get out there facing some of the, you know, best receivers in the game. Week after week and just trying to just gradually get myself back as a former wide as well.
Jason Verrett here on 95.7 The Game. So that interception in the end zone was a thing of beauty. It really was. It looked like you peeled off your cover to make a play on the ball. When did you feel that coming? Was it in the huddle? Was it something that you picked up in your peripheral vision? Did your own cover kind of tattletale that the ball was going somewhere else? How did you do that?
And it was a play that we kind of were anticipating any time they got in a bunch of formation. But yeah, just once I felt my guy going off to the flat, I still, you know, had vision on the quarterback and leverage on my man. And then once I just kind of felt him, you know, wanting to throw that corner out, I was able just to peel off and, you know, was in time to make the play, man. It was just a bang-bang play, and, you know, it was a good play by myself.
Nice hands.
Appreciate it.
How have you noticed the on-field absence of Richard Sherman, and how have you sort of filled part of that void to the extent that you can? Because, I mean, after all, you know, well, you know Sherm. You know you. I mean, at some point, him not being there means you have to do more things without getting out of your own particular lane.
I just try to remain myself, man, and just bring my skill set to the field. You know, I think our coaches are doing a good job of game planning and the players are executing. You know, with Sherm not being there, it's definitely been some leadership that other guys had to step up and be a part of on the field without him being out there. But, you know, these guys are hungry. You know, everybody wants to be out there and be the guy and make the plays. And, you know, I'm just trying to step in any way form that I can and just showcase what I could do.
When you talk about leadership on the defensive side, obviously Robert Saleh is the coordinator, and man, he's been the topic of a lot of conversations, good and bad, around these parts over the last few years. What do you feel like makes him unique or special as a defensive coordinator?
I just say he's fearless. You know, he wants our guys in the back end and the D-line and the linebackers just to have that mentality that we're the best in the league. And, you know, when we go out there on the field, we just all try to, you know, play as a unit. And guys like Fred Warner, with tremendous leadership and all-pro linebacker, man, he definitely gets guys going. So we just try to pick up off each other.
Born and raised in Fairfield, Jason Verrett is our guest here on 95.7 The Game. What, Angelo Rodriguez High School to Santa Rosa Junior College before you transfer to TCU. Tell me how that came about.
Actually, in high school, it was a coach that came up to our high school, and he was only there for about a month or two, but he actually played at Santa Rosa Junior College. So fast forward for me not getting any offers, we still stayed in contact, and he took me up to one of those games at the junior college, spoke with the head coach, and, you know, I just decided to go that route. And being that JUCO originally was a receiver, but the defensive coordinator there thought that I should switch over and play corner, so I gave it a shot, and, you know, the rest is history.
Was it a tough sell to get you to, you know, give up catching the ball and scoring touchdowns to have your hips swivel and backpedal?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, everybody loves the score. He just thought that it was going to be a better move for me and thought that, you know, I have a long-term success being on the dark side. So I definitely took his word for it, man, and, you know, it ended up working out.
I guess he was right.
Absolutely.
How persuasive did he have to be and for how long?
It probably took about, I'd say, 2-3 weeks because in practice I was doing both. I was going on offense and then swapping on defense. And then once they kind of started seeing me make a few plays, you know, they slowly just started to, you know, kind of persuade me. And I just, you know, I went with it.
So this is maybe more of a technical question, but and please correct me if I say something stupid or I'm failing to understand. But my understanding is you've mostly been a man corner throughout your career, and the Niners play a lot of zone concepts. How different is that, and how much of an adjustment was it to learn the Niners system when you got here?
It wasn't too different. You know, I played this style of defense in college, it wasn't that big of a transition for me. And it actually is cool. It just allows me to play with vision and be able to use my skill set and jumping routes and, you know, even calling out routes and things like that. And in times when we do have to play man, you know, that's what I do. So it's definitely been, you know, an easy transition for me.
We know that he's one of the best defensive backs in all of football. He was last year's Defensive Player of the Year. As you look to your next opponent, and a guy who you share a position with, and Stephon Gilmore. What makes Gilmore so good at what he does?
I say film study. You can tell just by the way he plays and his route recognition. You know, he's a hell of a player. I got a lot of respect for. And, you know, we talk from time to time. I tend to watch his film a lot to try to just take away from what he does. But he's a hell of a player. I definitely think he's one of the top corners in the game right now, and has been for the last 3-4 years, I think, since he's been in New England. But, yeah, he's just a guy that, you know, just makes plays and confident, man, plays with a lot of swagger. So, got a lot of respect for him.
Jason Verrett of the 49ers here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. How do you expect Bill Belichick to go about attacking your defense Sunday?
You know, definitely we know Bill Belichick's history and knowing how to attack defenses. We're just going to play our game, you know. That's all we can do. We know that they're going to try to run the ball, and that's been their motto for a long time. And now adding Cam Newton, which is another dual threat of being able to run the ball. So I just think we just got to play our game and try to stop the run and force them to try to throw the ball.
When you sit there and try to figure out what Belichick is going to do as opposed to a normal coach, do you factor him more into your pregame planning, or do you concentrate solely on the players against you, whom you'll deal with?
No, we just try to focus on the players, focus on the tendencies, the things that they like, and then also looking at, you know, things that we gave up in our games and trying to see how they're going to attack us. But, yeah, at the end of the day, once you get between those lines, man, it's just about execution. And, you know, we just try to focus on playing our call to the best of our ability and execute, you know, each and every down.
We talk a lot about the injuries this year because you guys have had so many. And a lot of them have been to veteran guys that we think of as having a leadership role on the team. How much of that can a guy like Richard Sherman still provide even when he's not able to get on the field on game day?
Yeah, guys just try to pick up the things that, you know, he left in the locker room, film study, leadership, just making sure guys are ready. So, you know, even though he's not around, we still kind of feel things that he'll, you know, expect from us. And like I said, the guys are hungry. The guys step up, players like myself that's been around the league for a while. I just try to take what it is that I know and apply that to some of the guys that's around here. So, I just think the chemistry that we're building in the back end, even though Sherm's not out here, I think that we're doing a good job of filling that void.
Can you even look ahead to the next handful of games? I know the cliche is one at a time, but it's almost hard to stop looking at the next four and look at it all. I mean, it's Patriots, Seahawks, Packers and Saints. That is two Hall of Fame head coaches. That is three Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And Hall of Fame coaches and quarterbacks, you put them together, it sounds like a long day for a cornerback. Can you bother looking at a stretch of games, trying to map out how you might navigate it? Or is it really the cliche, one at a time, you never think ahead? You can be honest. We won't tell.
No, I mean, you got to focus on the game that's in front of you, you know, because at the end of the day, it's any given Sunday. You know, we knew going into the Rams weekend was going to be tough, you know, but I just think you got to take it one game at a time, one play at a time, and execute, you know, and the team that wants it more eventually wins.
Given the number of injuries that your team has incurred this year, do you, knock on your head to make sure that you're still one of the healthy and walking?
Injuries just come with this game, you know, and I, at the end of the day, you just got to do everything you can to make sure your body's, you know, up to date, up to speed. And, you know, that, like I said, that's just something that you can't really control, but as far as things happening. But, yeah, on my end, I'm just doing everything that I can week in and week out, taking care of my body and making sure I'm on top of that.
So one of the guys you'll be having to deal with this weekend, Julian Edelman, he's been around a long time, finds a way to be productive despite not being the greatest athlete on the field. How different a challenge is that for you as opposed to, you know, taking on someone who's a physical freak but maybe doesn't have the same level of proficiency?
Well, I mean, Edelman is a savvy receiver. He's definitely a vet, been around for a long time, and I just think from watching film with him, you know, he's just a guy that knows how to get open. So I think it'll be, challenging for us. As far as his veteran skill set and just knowing where to be, knowing defenses and reading our defenses and knowing how to, you know, get open. And so I just think, you know, it's just going to boil down to us executing and, you know, trying to make plays out there.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jason, you know, we hadn't had the opportunity to say hello to you until right before today. It was a real pleasure to get to know you, at least during the interview. You were an easy guy to root for just because of the story and all you battled through. And now you are proof that, you know, talent, when healthy, when working hard, pays off in this league. So continued success to you personally, your teammates around you. We wish you the very best of health. And I don't know if this has ever happened, but we're going to feed you now that this interview is over. We told you that we were brought to you, or this interview was sponsored by Harris Ranch Beef. Well, we and Harris Ranch Beef are giving you 20 petite fillets, 8-ounce fillets. It's about 10 pounds of delicious filet mignon. Are you ready to eat that?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
I'm going to have
my chef come over and whip that up for me.
Look at you with a chef. Oh, must be nice. I'll tell you what, don't eat too much because we need you light on your feet for the rest of the year, man. Thank you so much for joining
us. Absolutely, boss. Appreciate it, boss. Have a good one.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.